Hey everyone, this is Ted Axe, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with your host Jim Madonna. Crank it right up!
I got a 50 cent fix and a Percocet script scam.
Here, your host of the Power Rock Podcast.
I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, metal, heavy metal, speed metal, contemporary, melodic rock. Friends, we got it all, and today is no different, because I have on the line high-octane vocalist, Canadian rocker, Mr. Ted Axe. Ted, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
I want to share with you, man, that I greatly appreciate you getting a hold of me. I was not familiar with your music. I'm telling you what, man, I absolutely dig it.
Thank you.
Listen, why don't you go ahead and give the listeners a little bit of history about Ted Axe. And then what we're going to do is we are going to play some songs throughout the interview off the album Sex, Whore, Violence. So what I'm going to do, man, is turn the floor over to you.
Great, thanks so much, and thanks again for the interview. Well, basically, in a nutshell, Ted Axe was born back in the day, and we are considered Canada's first punk band because of the when we started playing, there was no such thing as punk in Canada, and we kind of pioneered that sound out of Ottawa. Where the band The Action was based. Ted Axe, I was the frontman for that band, The Action, out of Ottawa. We kind of predated a lot of the Toronto bands in our choice to do punk. Originally, The Action was a bar band playing three sets a night in Quebec, biker bars with French prostitutes. We started putting in some Ramones and Pistols and what have you, mixing it up with the stuff we were already doing, like the Stones and Queen even. People were like going, what is that? Is that music? You know, what kind of music is that? And they dumped their beer on us and spat on us. And they kind of read about some of the stuff coming out of London, New York, and Toronto. And that was where Ted Axe was born. He's kind of a controversial figure, you might say. We opened for the Stranglers and were chosen to tour with the Ramones. Then the band broke up, and I went to Toronto, started a band in the Queen Street West scene. And after Toronto, it was Montreal, back to Toronto, down to Los Angeles, where I lived for 12 years, and then to Vancouver for a year and Seattle for 9 years. So I did manage to get out of the country for quite a while. But now I came back to Canada to The Action, reformed and got a record deal. And after that, I traveled back to Toronto and have had a band called Sister Hyde for the last 10 years and then decided to go solo recently, I guess last year, 2018. And now I have a new band. We're going out as Ted Axe. And I guess my album is a solo album, Sex, Horror, Violence by Ted Axe. So that's where we're at now. We're just starting to gig. We just did the Opera House and created quite an impression, I understand. So that's where we're at right now.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I had listened to all the tracks on the album, and you had stated, you know, that you're a punk band. And, you know, I gotta be honest, I didn't feel that vibe, man. I felt more of just a hard rock band. And that's what really, I mean, I've done some punk interviews, and the music was so much different than, we'll say, you know, punk here in the U.S. I don't know. That's just my opinion, but I kind of look at the Ted Axe band as a, you know, as like a rock band, a metal band, because that's the vibe I get off it.
Absolutely. My background was in punk, but really it was just rock and roll. And now I'm kind of gone darker, I would say, kind of almost a theatrical metal sound sometimes. I call it alt-glam, alternative glam. It does have some elements, but you know, labels are labels. I'm trying to come up with a new one all the time, but really it's just rock and roll, isn't it? It's kind of on the darker side of things.
I get it. That's cool, man.
Hard rock.
That's it.
Whatever people want to call it, as long as they listen to it, it's fine with me.
Right on. As long as they're listening, right? That's what's important.
Yeah,
that's what's important.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm at an age and state of affairs where I don't really give a toss what people think or what the latest flavor of the week is. I've just kind of developed my own sound. It really is kind of based on my life in the last few years, so it's very autobiographical in lyric-wise.
Very interesting. What was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, I'm dating myself, but my first albums were Fresh Cream by Cream and Revolver by the Beatles and things like that. So I'd have to say, you know, I'd go home and listen to the lead break on Sock It To Me Baby by Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. And I just found this incredible excitement in one lead break, lead solo. So really, I'd have to say back then when I was growing up, it was AM radio. And the AM radio was great back then, you know, every song was different and the radio was so much different. So I was picking up New York City radio at my cottage on the Rideau Lake, and that kind of influenced me in black music. And so I'd have to say, you know, that kind of thing influenced me. I suppose my mother didn't like it at all. She wanted me to be an artist. I had some talent in art, but the more she wanted me to be an artist, she'd say, you know, everybody wants to be Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger's a dime a dozen. So I was out to prove her wrong, and still am, I suppose.
No, I wouldn't say that, man. I mean, you're very talented and gifted, and, you know, there's so many artists out there that they just suck. I hate to say that, but it's, you know, and they're trying to do their thing, but, you know, obviously they're not making it. You know what I mean? It's very hard. This business is very hard. It's a cutthroat business, and, you know, at the average person who's not in the music industry but simply enjoys music just really does not understand nor get the hatred and the deception behind the music industry.
Oh, yeah, especially these days. It's kind of going back to where you have to pay for everything.
Right.
You know, I wanted to do an interview with a magazine recently in San Francisco, and the owner of the magazine said I'd have to buy a T-shirt first for $10. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Any kind of label, a lot of labels are now charging the artists to be signed. It's kind of crazy, but...
Well, you know, I deal with a lot of labels. I don't say that arrogantly. I see it all the time. I really do, and some of it, you know, you just gotta... I can only just shake my head and go, my God, how do these gifted artists even make it? You know, it's one of those things that's just wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think I've kind of sacrificed a normal existence to pursue my music. And, hey, if I like it and, you know, people like you like it, then someone else is going to like it. Really, you know, I feel like I have to just go after it.
Right. Well, I promise you this much, man. If I didn't like it, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, let's go ahead and talk about your album, Sex, Horror, Violence. The first track, self-titled track, is, of course, Sex, Horror, Violence. Can you give the listeners some history about that song?
Yeah, I think that I'm a bit of an actor in my lyrics. I kind of take the place of the person I'm writing about, or the fictitious person. And in this case, might sound a bit gruesome, but I'm kind of taking the place of one of these people you hear in the news all the time, somebody driving around in a car with some kind of implement of death, or maybe the car is the implement of death. And I've taken the place, in the song, I'm the character that is looking to amend some deep wound by wiping out a bunch of people at once, which it really is kind of most of the shocking news stories we hear aren't too shocking anymore because this happens so much that I just thought, well, seems like a good idea for a song, you know. Maybe it was some news item that influenced me, but I hope people will see the difference. It's not really me, it's just the character, just like a movie.
Right.
And so this cat's driving around in a car, he's on drugs, he's had some beers, and he's leaped out of his brain, and he's telling people to keep the radio on and listen to their news because he's going to be the guy that everyone's going to be talking about soon. It never really goes through what he commits or what atrocity he commits, but it's just kind of this whole lead up to this violent act.
I'm going to tell you what, Ted. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Sex, Horror, Violence with Ted X on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. Are back with Mr. Ted Axe. And Ted, I don't want to sound like a robot because I know I'm going to do it, brother, but all these songs that we're going to play, I've chosen five off the album. These songs here are songs that really spoke out to me. You know, as I put the headphones on and I listened, you know, to all the tracks, they're all great tracks, but these here are the ones that really said, yeah, I want to do this. You know what I mean? You know, well done on the song, brother. Well done.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Let me ask you this, Ted. In your opinion, what defines a successful record?
Well, you know, if we look at some of the most successful records, like, to me, I would have to say the Beatles wrote some of probably the best music in the 65 to 68. Some of the best music ever written. And those were just great songs. They have so many great songs that it's hard-pressed to say what's your favorite Beatles song. And also they did something that Led Zeppelin did, which was to create soft areas of softness and hardness in one album. So you'd find that a lot in Zeppelin. You'd have an acoustic song turning into a full-fledged, you know, heavy rocker by the end of it. And it was that kind of soft and lightness. But also, for me, this record is successful because, I'll tell you what, you can't fake anger. And I was very angry when I was doing the vocals for a lot of these songs, just because somebody was pissing me off with their presence at the studio and making my life hell. So I kind of took it out on the vocals. And it's interesting because I don't think you can fake anger. And when people really hear something that's from the heart, you know, they have to respond.
Absolutely, man.
But, yeah.
Yeah. The next track I'd like to talk about is called Femme Fatale. Can you give us some history on that one, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. Femme Fatale is a woman who is going to give you a fatal blow at some point. Maybe not physically, but just by her presence. It's like, you know, the woman in a black, long, tall black hat or dressed in black. But in this case, Femme Fatale is the woman I'm living with. And the song really is about how this guy in a band is drunk one night and he might be straying from his relationship with the femme fatale. But at the last moment, he says, "Hey, leave me alone. I got someone at home. She's my femme fatale." And, you know, it's like that groupie thing, that temptation that all musicians face at one point or another in their musical lives. And this groupie turns out to be a little bit of a crazy one. She starts stalking the musician. And he just has to lay it on the line, you know, get off the phone, leave me alone. I got someone at home. She's my femme fatale.
Very cool. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Femme Fatale on Power Rock Podcast with Ted Axe. Crank it up.
You better look out. We were only friends, girl. At least that's what I thought. So won't you leave me alone? I gotta get off the phone. I got someone. I got someone at home.
All right, again, we are back with Ted Axe. And Ted, you know, I liked asking the questions about the songs because, you know, when you hear them, you know, you can get some people, or let me reiterate that, you can get an idea about what the song is, but when the artist goes into detail about the song, it changes the entire perspective of that song. And then you hear it again, yeah, and it's like, damn, it makes total sense.
I think that's a great idea that you're asking this question because, funnily enough, I've never heard another interviewer ask it. And it seems to make total sense to me.
Well,
Why wouldn't you know what the writer means?
Well, you know, I mean, that's just one of the things that I do, that I choose to do. And at this particular point, it is very successful. And you don't fix what's broke. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I'm going to keep going on and on. Next question I have for you, brother. Has there ever been a point in your life where you had lost the interest in playing? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
Wow. I never really did lose the interest. I kind of went with my own thing in the cities I lived with. Instead of getting in a tribute band or a cover band or somebody else's band, I often suffered for the cause of doing my own music. And so I've had a backlog of songs that I've had to kind of play catch up to. You know, I have quite a few songs, and now I have all these new songs for a new album. So I'm writing all the time, and I don't think I've ever had a period where I've lost my inspiration to make music.
Is there anything coming up in the near future that you'd like to let the fans know?
Yeah, right now there's a Rockpile show in Toronto. It's a half-hour set we're doing as part of Rock the Rabbit, which is an annual massive Easter event at Rockpile. It features about 10 or 15 bands, I think, and we're on third from last doing a half-hour set. So that will be our second show with this new band. And after that, we are doing July 6th, Saturday night, back at Rockpile. Opening for a band, a headliner there. So that'll be our regular 45-minute set. So those are the two dates to keep an eye out for me and my band. It'll be the April 19th. Did I say August? Yes, April 19th and July 6th.
Okay.
Those are the two confirmed dates.
That's cool. That's cool. You know, is there any plans for a new album?
Well, not at the moment. I'm still really kind of on the cusp of promoting this one. But there are plans to start doing pre-production for one. I'm writing new tunes with my guitarist at the moment and my bass player. And I've got about 20 tunes that I'm looking at, boiling them down to 10. So I'm on that trail every day. Yeah, basically what I do is I go over my set every day on the electric guitar and sing it. And then I'll do about 10 new ones that I'm thinking of doing for a new album. So I definitely have it in mind because one gets bored, right, of the old stuff so fast. Apparently, the most interesting thing an artist does usually is the newest thing that he's done. So,
right, I think, but, I think too, Ted, that, you know, when we, you know, I'm 52 years old, all right? To be quite honest with you, you know, before I started doing interviews, I was listening to the same music when I was 16 years old, you know, nothing against. I love the 80s rock. You know, that is my era. You know, I would never put that down. But, you know, to talk with guys like yourself and different people from around the world that have such amazing music, it's really refreshing to be able to talk with these artists and, you know, to do these interviews because there's just, as we talked about earlier, the industry sucks. And to give the opportunity to somebody to say, hey, I really enjoy this, it makes it all worthwhile, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you're uncovering hidden gems.
All right, well, the next song I would like to talk about, Ted, is called Hurt People. Can you give us some history on that?
Yeah, Hurt People. Again, I'm taking the character... I'm playing a character in the song. somebody who's been hurt and now hurts people. Because that's really the chorus. The chorus goes, hurt people, hurt people. And it sounds sometimes like I'm just repeating it over and over again, but if you put the two sentences together, hurt people, then it kind of makes sense, because a lot of people who have been hurt end up hurting hurt people throughout their lives, too. Instead of saying, oh, I'm not going to hurt anybody, you know, they become the abuser, as it were. So really, the guy in the song is going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'll do this to you, and I'll do this to you.
Right.
And that's the hurt person, and he's just saying, because you know why? Hurt people hurt people. Yeah, and anger, I think, anger comes from hurt, so... Yeah,
that's, yeah, I get it. There is a lot of hurt people, man. So, and it's sad, but I guess it's part of life. And you know, if we would just learn to be a little more compassionate with each other, I really think this, you know, we'd be a lot more happy. But you know, it's a dog eat dog world, and our ass is a milk bone. You know what I'm saying? And it's a free for all. What about me? What about me? Kind of thing. You know what I mean? You get it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here Absolutely. It is. Here it is, my friends. Hurt People with Ted Axe on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Well, I'm hurt. That's how I make you feel. I'm sore.
Welcome back. And Ted, I really dig that song, you know, because especially the way, you know, hurting people, you know, and like I had explained prior to the song, you know, there is a lot of hurt people. So, you know, that song is well arranged. And all these songs are well arranged. The vocals on them are killer. You know, they're well produced, well written. And, you know, I can't really just say anything bad. You know, I'm being honest with you.
Oh, great. Thanks very much. You know, hurt people, it's funny because it's one girl who saw our show at the Opera House. All the phones started filming us when we started playing that song. And even though I thought it was kind of the clunker, one of the clunkers on the record, in my estimation, it's turning out to be a song that people can relate to. And I never kind of realized that till we started playing it live, and then people were going, yeah, that's the song I immediately sing in my head. Hurt people.
Right. Now, you know, you kind of explained about your music in the beginning, but I want to ask you more of a specific question and see if it coincides with what you said or if you have a different answer. And the question is this, man. What makes your music unique?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's just the fact that I really don't care. I don't care whether it gets on the radio, whether it's considered radio-friendly. I just did it for the sake of doing what I want. You know, I didn't have any preconceived notions. Like, I know a guy who's well-known in Toronto who's just got signed, and his label's telling him, can all the guitar solos do techno, because that's what sells. You got to look at the people buying music. A 14-year-old isn't going to even know what classic rock is. And blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And if it doesn't sell, we're going to drop you. So I don't really have to worry about any of those pressures. I just do what I feel. And my music's a conglomeration of all the stuff I like. So if we're looking at glam rock, it's in there. You could definitely hear that on Femme Fatale. It's kind of like almost like an old Bowie or T-Rex song. And then, you know, there's stuff like Black Sabbath in there. And that's this one, Nightmare. My Own Worst Nightmare has got a bit of black music in there because it's kind of funky.
Right.
So all those genres of music, stuff I like, are in the songs. I don't know what makes it unique. I guess the fact that it just exists. I didn't really set out to make anything unique, but because I don't have any buffers, I don't worry about what I'm going to sing about, whether it sounds too psychotic or not or whatever. You know what I mean? I think that's what makes it unique, because I don't have any...
Well, I'll tell you what, my opinion, based upon what you just said, what makes your music unique is that you're being Ted Axe. You're not trying to be another, you know, vocalist, or you're not, are simply being you. And if people don't like it, I'm sorry, move on, you know, change the channel, because I'm not going to change to appease you.
Yeah, right. You know, you're right. Because a lot of artists these days are not exactly authentic. And I always say, well, there already is a Vince Neil. Why try to sound like Vince Neil? Why try to sound like that guy? There already is that guy.
Exactly. That's my point. It doesn't make any sense to me. Next track I'd like to talk about is called My Own Worst Nightmare. How about some history?
Yeah, My Own Worst Nightmare. I've always been fascinated by the Hyde Jekyll character in all of us. And this one is definitely the Hyde part. You know, people are afraid of different things in life, but sometimes we scare ourselves the most of anything. And, you know, God, did I really just say that? Did I really just do that? Do I really want to do that? And I think everybody's got the good, I call it Godhead or God in them, but it's also got the other impersonification of Hyde or the devil. I'm not really a religious person, but you know what I'm saying? It's the good and bad. So this is definitely the bad boy. I always wear the black hat and somebody's got to do it, you know. So I wear the black hat. This is a bit of a funky tune, which differs from my others. And again, the character in it is kind of saying all these awful things, what he's capable of. And then it turns out he's probably his own worst enemy, because the chorus is, I'm my own worst nightmare.
Right on. And here it is, brother. My own worst nightmare. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast. You know, again, great song, great vocals, well arranged, love it, well done. And Ted, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and close this show out, brother, but I want to ask you one more question. What type of legacy, or how do you want to be remembered when you pass on?
Well, you know, it would be great to say that my art will hang in an art gallery, and that other younger artists through the centuries in the future will come and draw it while it's hanging in an art gallery. And it's the same with music. Hopefully my music will stand the test of time, and hopefully by the time I pass into the next, hopefully by the time I pass into the next universe, my music will be at a place where it will be accessible. As you know, it's extremely hard to be noticed with, God, how many bands in the Toronto area? Probably about 600,000 bands in this area, probably. It's going to be difficult, but I've still got stuff to say, and I'm going to say it. So hopefully somebody else will come across it in the future and go, wow, look at this stuff. Alt glam. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call my stuff, too. Alt glam. You know, it's a new genre. I created it. So, hopefully the music people will keep on relating to it. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
It is.
That people can relate.
Yeah, I think if you, you know, if you can sing a song and, you know, whether it's about sex, drugs, rock and roll, depression, God, I don't care what it is. There's somebody out there that can relate to that song in one way or another. And I think when you're able to touch, be able to connect with your fans, that's really something special, man.
Also, you know, the 80s, a lot of stuff in the 80s became so arena obsessed that they lost touch with the average person.
Exactly.
That is something that an artist has to be aware of. And also the hashtag Me Too movement changed a lot of the inherent sexism in metal and hard rock. So I don't think, you know, like, we don't want to write too much. I mean, not every song about that, you know.
Right.
So
sure.
Let's spread it out a bit. I do have one like that. I mean, I do have one that is about, you know, the AC/DC thing of with a girl meeting a new girl that night, and that's called Insatiable. But this one, Nothing at All, is coming up. And I think that one I wrote about a band member, an ex-band member.
Okay. Well, Ted, listen, man.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and close it out. And what I'd like to say to you, my friend, is that I wish you the utmost success in all that you do. And, you know, I like to use the word pray, and I just pray to God that, you know, he keeps allowing you to do what you do, because you do it so damn well. And I can't wait to see, because I believe that, or I can't wait to see that the TEDx or TEDx band is on that main stage touring the world, because more people need to hear you guys. And thank you.
Wow. That's great. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. And, you know, thank you, you know, for this opportunity, brother.
Thanks, man. It's been a great interview. Great questions. And, you know, thanks a lot for responding to the music.
You got it, buddy. All right. Well, there you have it. An interview with TEDx. I am Jim Madani, your host. What we're going to do is we are going to play one more track. This one here is called Nothing at All. Peace.